podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
So if you ever watched football, you've probably seen this happen before. And some of you watched a lot of football this week, in between bites and in between naps. But you've probably seen this. The ball is caught near the back of the end zone, and it happens so fast that you can barely tell whether the receiver was inbounds or out of bounds. So the receiver's celebrating, he's jumping up and down, he's spiking the football. The defender is crossing his arms saying, no catch, no catch, no catch. And then everybody on the field, everybody in the stands, everybody at home, zeroes in their attention on that one guy, that guy with the stripes on his shirt. And he's standing there, and his face is white, and he's shaking his head, and he looks over at the other refs, and they start looking at one another. They're shrugging, and they get together into a little huddle. You know, you've seen that huddle of referees before, and they're talking with each other about what they just saw or didn't see. Meanwhile, there's a bunch of players trying to get in on that conversation and influence that conversation. And you see one ref step out from time to time and push the players back. Get back, guys. Let us talk about this. Finally, one of the refs says, let's go to the booth. So here the coaches are screaming on the top of their lungs. All of the players are upset. People at home are throwing things at their TV screens. And the referee walks to the sideline, and he gets underneath the little curtain, puts his head under there, puts the headset on, and gets the replay. And so there's a conversation that's going on between the home office in New York, between the referee, and between some guys that are up in the booth. And we don't get to hear any of this. But what we do get to see is this, that they keep playing the replay over and over again. The people in the stands get to see it on the big screen. We get to see it on our TVs. And the commentators are arguing over what they think the outcome of this is going to be. And they talk to some specialist who's supposed to know better than anybody. And everybody's already made their own decision. And then what do? They cut to a commercial, right? They cut to a commercial, and then it's the same commercial you've seen all season, so you don't even watch it. They come back to the game. Finally, the referee has made a decision. He walks away from the replay booth. He starts to walk toward the middle of the field. Suddenly, he stops, turns around, and goes back. And they get together in another huddle, and they want to make sure that they get this thing right this time, right? So they want to know how much time left on the clock, where the ball's going to be placed, what the score's going to be, all of that. He wants all of that information. Finally, the referee gets to the middle of the field. The crowd, everybody watching at home, both teams are focused on this guy to make his decision. So he begins to speak, but nothing comes out of his mouth because his mic is not turned on. So he has to mess around with his mic for a little while. And then finally, they know that the next words out of his mouth are going to determine the fate of both teams and their fans. Who's going to go to the playoffs? Who's going to go to the Super Bowl? It's amazing the impact that one decision can make and all of the eyes and the hearts that are drawn to that one decision. Now, there is a much more important decision that we make every day as believers in Jesus Christ. A decision that makes a crucial difference in our world. It alters the very direction of your life. It literally changes history, this decision. All the angels of heaven and God Himself await your call. Now, what's it going to be? The decision is this: who will you serve? Or maybe asked in a more pertinent way, who are you serving? Who are you serving? This is the decision that Joshua calls the people of Israel to make once the conquest of the promised land is complete. So they all stand together on the battlefield. The land has been divided by tribes at this point. The main conflict over the promised land is over. Peace is starting to seep into the world again. These war veterans are going to return home to their families and to their new lives and to their homesteads. And Joshua calls together all the judges and the officials and the leaders of Israel, And on that day, before they separate, before they go home, Joshua, their field general, this elderly man who has seen the Lord work in amazing ways throughout the course of his life, a wise man who has earned every single one of his medals and every one of his stripes, a courageous man of God, opens his mouth and he says, "Choose for you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's a famous passage of scripture, right? Some of you have it like on these little signs that you have in your living room. Some of you have it on the door knocker on the front of your door. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Right? But these are the words of Joshua to the leaders of Israel before they departed to go back to their homes after the conquest of the promised land. Now think for a moment with me about all the things that Joshua's eyes have seen. Right, where is this message coming from? It's coming from the heart of Joshua. If this were a movie about Joshua, there would be a series of flashbacks. There would be a montage that would take us through his life's most important moments. He was born Hoshea, a Hebrew slave, into a family of Hebrew slaves in Egypt. So cue the clip of young Hoshea making bricks in slavery, dreaming of a much better life that God might bring to them. The people of Israel in slavery in Egypt, dreaming about the promised land. But then being the firstborn son in his family, Hoshea not only experienced slavery, but he also experienced the Passover. The Passover in Egypt, he lived through this in a very, very personal way. Think about this as he was watching the blood of the lamb as it was painted on the doorpost of his home. And then for that evening, Joshua and his family hunkering down in the house, awaiting the angel of death to pass over, and cue the clip of Hoshea and his family waking up the next morning and rejoicing over the fact that he's still alive. And now they're preparing to leave Egypt. Cue the next clip of Hoshea and his family crossing the Red Sea on dry ground. Again, now saved by the protection of the Lord. Hoshea at this time is apparently 20 years old, and with his family, they are saved by God from Egypt and going into the future. After leaving Egypt, Moses needs a young man to lead the militia to prepare for battle against the Amalekites, who were not happy with the Israelites for crossing through their land. So cue the scene with Moses commissioning Hoshea and calling him and changing his name to Yeshua or Joshua, which means Yahweh is salvation, the namesake of a Savior who was yet to come, Jesus. Cue the scene when Joshua's on the battlefield now, fighting against the Amalekites, and out of the corner of his eye, he can see Moses on the ridgeline, on the top of the hillside, with his hands raised toward heaven and his staff raised toward heaven, praying. And as the battle tarries, Joshua notices that the success of Israel depends on the prayers of Moses. Next, cue the scene with Moses climbing Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments from God. And who is by his side, attending him and shadowing his every step? Joshua. Then fast forward to a scene where Moses is speaking with God in the tent of meeting, and all Israel is waiting to hear what the Lord has to say to them through Moses, and there is only one other person in the tent with Moses who can hear the voice of Yahweh, and who is that? It's Joshua. Cue the scene where the 12 spies are returning from the promised land, having been sent by Moses on a reconnaissance mission. The 12 spies come back from the promised land with a report, and they make their recommendation as to whether they should proceed the way that God has told them to proceed or not. Out of the 12, only two recommend obeying the Lord and plowing ahead: Caleb and Joshua. Now cue a montage of Israel wandering through the wilderness for 40 years, an entire generation of men passing from this life, and only two after those 40 years survive, Caleb and Joshua. Moses climbs his last mountain to view the promised land, and due to his disobedience to the Lord, he will not enter. He passes away in the land of Moab, east of the promised land, never having seen the promise with his human eyes, but not before laying hands on Joshua. So cue the clip of Joshua looking across the Jordan River at the promised land, hearing the voice of the Lord call him to leadership. The voice of the Lord says, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them." One more montage. The Israelites are crossing the Jordan River on dry ground into the promised land. They're piling up rocks on the bank as a remembrance of this time. And then the conquest. First, the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. And then that sad moment where a pilferer named Achan is made an example for the sin of greed against the Lord. And then one by one by one, all of the walled cities of the Canaanites fall until the land has been conquered. And now Joshua divides the land into tribes. He gathers his leaders together and he gives them their marching orders. Before they go off to establish their homes, they will need courage. They will need courage like Joshua's. And so he stands before them, this man of experience, this man of great reputation and authority. He opens his mouth and he exhorts them. So if you've got your Bibles this morning, let's turn to Joshua chapter 24, starting with verse 14. Joshua chapter 24, starting with verse 14. If you have a pew Bible, that's page 169. Joshua 14, or 24, verse 14. "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the river Euphrates and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." Notice how he talks about the God of their ancestors, the gods of Egypt. He talks about the gods of the people in the land where they are living. Verse 15, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve Jehovah, the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." Apparently, this generation has learned their history lesson. Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord." Boy, Joshua's realistic, isn't he? You cannot do this. You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. Don't you know who this God is? He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. So think twice before you make your decision, people. Verse 21, "But the people said to Joshua, 'No, we will serve Jehovah.' Then Joshua said, 'You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and we will obey him. And on that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people, and there at Shechem, he reaffirmed for them decrees and laws. I'm sure they went through the Ten Commandments. I'm sure they went through all of the covenants and the promises that had been made, starting with Noah and Abraham and all the way up through all of their ancestors. And then we're told Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and he set it up there under the oak near the holy place of the Lord. See, he said to all the people, this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God. Then Joshua dismissed the people, each to their own inheritance. And at that point, they were on their own. At that point, they became veterans of war, and they returned home. So there are some things we can learn from Joshua's experience and from the exhortation that he makes to these people. First of all is this: your life is a sum of one decision, and that one decision is, who am I going to serve? Your life is the sum of one decision. Your entire life, everything you do with yourself, your future, is determined by this one decision. Who am I going to serve? So Joshua saw a young man by the name of Achan lose his life because in a moment of weakness, he hid some plunder from the battle at Jericho in his tent. We know that Joshua lived through 40 years in the wilderness watching friends pass away one by one by one due to their lack of courage and their lack of faith in the Lord. He experienced the time when there were poisonous snakes that were striking the people, a day when all they had to do was look up to the snake that was on the pole. But many of them still would not look, and they did not live. So Joshua grieved, and he grieved over Moses, who never made it to the promised land because he chose to serve himself rather than the Lord in a moment of anger. And Joshua saw the consequences of unbelief. He saw and chose to serve the Lord, and he called the leaders now, during this time, all of the leaders of the tribes to do the same thing. Now I ask, have you made that decision? Choose you this day whom you will serve. It is a crucial decision, because choices carry consequences. Choices carry consequences. You see, who I serve determines how I live. So I make that one choice and it becomes the guiding principle for my everyday life. When I make that decision that I am going to serve God or I'm going to serve myself or I'm going to serve another, it will be borne out in the way I live my life and all of the choices and the little decisions that I make beyond that. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is a great example of one who chose to serve the Lord rather than herself. When the angel came to her and told her what her future was going to look like, when the angel came into her world and said, look, everything is about to change. Look, you know all those plans and those dreams that you had? Scrap them, because God's got something else for you. And it's going to be a horrible thing, but it's going to be a wonderful thing. What did Mary say? Her answer was, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be to me fulfilled. I will serve you. And then that decision and the many other decisions and the choices that she made throughout the rest of her life would lead her on quite a journey, if you follow her all the way to the cross. A journey like no other. And the Lord calls you to be his servant this morning and every morning. And should you choose to follow, it will cost you your life. I guarantee it. It will cost you your life. But your life will be like no other. Recognize that the choice needs to be made soon, if not now. There is no time to waste because choices have deadlines. So your life awaits that one decision. You think you can delay and say, well, I'll make that decision on another day. I don't need to make that decision today. There will be other opportunities to bow my knee and to make that decision. But Joshua says to the people of Israel before they depart, choose you this day whom you will serve. Because Joshua knows these warriors and these leaders are about to return to their homes and to their families. They have plenty of work ahead of them. It's going to be great. They're going to have an opportunity to go to their place where they live and to fend off the enemies. They're going to be able to establish their homestead and to clear and to plow and to plant their fields and to plant their vineyards and to begin with all of their flocks and the agriculture. And in the heat of their work, he knows they're going to forget the Lord. They're going to forget. They're going to get so busy with their work and establishing the work of their own hands and serving themselves and their families that they're going to forget the Lord. And so he grabs them by the collar and he stares at them man to man, eye to eye. And with all of the authority and the experience that he has behind him, he says, you have no time to waste. You must decide now. Choose you this day who you will serve. Don't wait until you face the struggles of tomorrow. Don't wait until things get complicated. Decide today who you will serve. And it will make the decisions of tomorrow so much more clear and so much more obvious. Your life awaits that one decision. Billy Graham once wrote, if you don't make a decision, then time will make it for you. And time will always side against you. Does that ring true to you? It does to me. I found it to be true. Time gets away from you. So if you decide not to decide, you've made a decision. And then the window of opportunity closes, and time has made the decision for you, and it's too late. There's a great poem entitled Tomorrow that was written by Edgar Guest. It goes like this. He was going to be all that a mortal should be tomorrow. No one should be kinder or braver than he tomorrow. A friend who was troubled and weary, he knew, who'd be glad of a lift and who needed it too, on him he would call and see what he could do tomorrow. Each morning he stacked up the letters he'd write tomorrow and thought of the folks he would fill with delight tomorrow. It was too bad indeed he was busy today and hadn't a minute to stop on his way. More time he would have to give others, he'd say, tomorrow. The greatest of workers this man would have been, tomorrow. The world would have known him had he ever seen tomorrow. But the fact is he died and he faded from view, and all that he left here when living was through was a mountain of things he intended to do tomorrow. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Now, when you choose with your mouth, you must then follow through with your life because choices require maintenance. So your life is the sum of that one decision. Who am I going to serve? And that choice carries many consequences because who you serve determines how you will live your life. That choice has a deadline. Your life awaits that one decision. It must be made now. But once you make that choice, it requires daily upkeep and maintenance. Your life champions that one decision. Day after day after day, with courage like Joshua, you must choose to continue to serve the Lord. Choose you this day who you will serve. And the word serve here is a decision that carries on for a lifetime of continual choices. It's a deciding for a lifetime. The actual tense of the verb in the original language does not say choose now who you will serve. It is choose forever who you will serve. It means that every day you must choose who you will serve based on the decision that you make now. It's not a one-time decision. It's an all-time decision. Although for most of us, we can point to a time when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and we committed ourselves to Him. See, some of us have those moments when we can remember when we gave our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it was stepping forward in a meeting, whether it was bowing our heads silently, whether it was our mother or father who led us to the Lord. We remember the time when we made a decision to give our hearts to Jesus, to turn our lives over to Him. But then in addition to that, some of us remember other times when God spoke to us. Mountaintop experiences. Other opportunities where God said, choose you this day who you will serve. Because we realized that we started to slip. We began to serve ourselves. We began to serve the things of this world. And then God got a hold of us and said, choose you again. Who are you going to serve? And so we recommitted our lives to Him. Maybe you remember a time like that in your life. We know that there are times like these. But understand that this decision to serve Him is one that we must make over and over and over again. It is a deciding for a lifetime. Every morning when we wake up to face a new day, we decide. With every opportunity and every struggle and every challenge and every test that you face, you have to ask, who am I going to serve? Who am I going to serve? And your entire life depends on your continued day by day choice to maintain and to serve the Lord above all else. In the book of 1 Kings, we read of a time when Elijah went before the people and he said to them, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal is God, follow him. Who are you going to follow? Which God is it? Who are you going to serve? But the people said nothing. It's an interesting picture in this deciding. How long will you waver between two opinions? Literally in the Hebrew language, that means, how long will you hop between two branches? It's like a bird on a tree hopping between two branches. Which one of these branches are you going to stick with? Which one of these gods are you going to serve? Who is it going to be? And so Israel makes her choice. Here in the book of Joshua, the leaders vow to serve Jehovah, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. They return home to their new places, to their new homesteads, to start a new life with their marching orders. And maybe some of them wrote it above the doorpost. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And maybe they had Meredith and Tyler make a little pretty fancy sign for them. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And they hung that in their home with pride. Maybe it was written on their welcome mat. Maybe it was just written in their heart. Because they remember that moment before Joshua when they said, we will serve the Lord. And they remember that rock sitting under a tree in the field, at that place where God was their witness that they had made this decision. And that marked their life. And for the most part, Israel obeys their marching orders. But there is a tragic conclusion to this story. If you still have your Bibles open to the last chapter in Joshua, turn over a couple of pages to the second chapter of the book of Judges. Just a couple chapters forward to the book of Judges in the history of Israel. Judges chapter 2, starting with verse 7. We read, the people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Isn't that a great thing? The people who made this commitment served the Lord. Beautiful. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. After that, Joshua has now passed off the scene. After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and they served the Baals, the other gods. They forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the peoples around them. They aroused the Lord's anger because they forsook him and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. In his anger against Israel, the Lord gave them into the hands of raiders who plundered them. dot, 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 we go through the book of Judges. The next generation abandons the choice. The next generation forgets Joshua's speech. The next generation forgets the history of the conquest of the promised land. The next generation forgets the 40 years wandering in the wilderness. The next generation forgets the 12 spies going into the promised land and only two surviving because they obeyed God. The next generation forgets the 10 commandments. The next generation forgets crossing the Red Sea. The next generation forgets the time of slavery in Egypt and God's deliverance through the Passover. They forget. Serving the Lord is so old-fashioned. There's so much more to be experienced than the Baals and the Ashtoreths and the gods of our culture. You know, there's so much more about life that I want to learn. I don't want to be shackled by this archaic God and the advice of a dead war hero. What difference can that make to me today? And the people paid the consequences in dire ways. And in so many ways, we are living in the days of the judges right now. Folks, it's not too late for us to make the call to serve the Lord and then to pass on the faithfulness of serving the Lord to the ones that we love, to the next generation that needs to take the baton from men like Joshua and run like it. We need to take the history that we have of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and coming to serve Him and to pass that on. Now, sometimes it's passed on by things like Christmas traditions, you know? I love it how people will bring you into their home and show you their Christmas decorations, and all of them have a story. You know, I love the decorations that have a story. A particular ornament on the tree that dates back a couple generations, right? This was Grandma's ornament. She's with the Lord now, but I can remember how she treasured this ornament, and now I have it in my home. And so we pass down the traditions of these festive celebrations like Christmas. The question is, do we also pass down our faith and our decision to serve God with all that we are and all that we have? It is not too late to make the call to serve the Lord and to pass it on to the ones that we love. Choose you this day whom you will serve. So who are you serving today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your word today and for the example of a great difference maker, this man by the name of Joshua, a name that means Jehovah saves. How we thank you that you indeed are a God who saves. And Lord, we confess that we are sinners and we desperately need that salvation. So we are thankful that you have sent your Son, Jesus, into this world, that all who believe in him have forgiveness of their sins and the promise of eternity. But Lord, how important it is that we make that decision and then follow it up with our lives each and every day. So Father, I pray that you would help us as men and women of the Lord Jesus Christ to serve our Savior Jesus and him alone in these days. It's more important now than ever, O Lord, that we make that decision and stick with it every day and then pass it along to those that we love. So Lord, I pray this morning for my brothers and sisters in Christ that are gathered here. We are here for a reason. Father, I may not be Joshua with his long history and his authority, but Lord, I have the authority of the Word of God and the authority of our Savior Jesus Christ to be able to stand before my brothers and sisters in Christ and say, choose you this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Father, I pray that we would choose well and that we would back up that choice every single day of our lives, every moment, every test, every opportunity. Father, that we would serve you. And Lord, I pray for those who know at this moment that they have fallen away, that they've not been serving you. Lord, they've been serving all sorts of other interests, some of them good interests, but not the best interest. Father, I pray that today might be a day of readjustment, that once again we would come to your side and say, Lord, I need your forgiveness. I repent of following after other gods. And I pray, O Lord, that you would help me once again to choose to serve you. Help us, Lord, to be your servants. For we pray this all in the name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen.